For how can we who died to sin still live in it? Have you ever had one of those moments when you're listening to somebody teach and you're like, whoa, 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 pause. What does that mean? This was my moment. Bill Lawrence is teaching this class and he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? And I just paused it and I thought, oh, what does that mean? Does that mean that since I've placed my faith in Jesus that my affections for sin are dead? Because if that's what he's suggesting, I may not be saved because my affections are very alive for sin. So what's he talking about there? Have you ever felt like that? Like if you go to an open casket funeral and that casket is open, you can plead for that person to respond. You can beg for a smile or a wink or a handshake or a something or a hug or whatever. That person will not respond to you because that person is dead. Well, I don't feel dead to my sin. In fact, you guys remember the old school movie New Jack City? Wesley Snipes, Ice-T, Chris Rock. Chris Rock plays a character called Pookie. Pookie's my favorite. And Pookie's trying to get sober. Pookie, I think, was on crack. And Pookie's trying to get off of crack, and he's begging Ice-T for help. He's like, man, I can hear it. It's calling me, man. It's calling me. I can hear it. I relate to Pookie because my old life calls me. I hear it. I'm not dead to it. I sense its presence, and if I'm gut-level honest, there are times where I want it, much like Pookie wanted it. But he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? So what died when you placed your faith in Jesus? What died was not the presence of sin. It's not the influence of sin. So when people suggest to you that they come to faith in Jesus and then never sin again, they are full of garbage. They are flat-out lying dogs. Because what dies is not the presence of sin, but the mastery of sin. Remember the question, who is king in your life? Is sin king or is grace king? One of the two is. Now, let's continue. He says, do you not know, or excuse me, yeah, how shall we who died to sin still live in, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? By the way, there's no water in verse 3. To be baptized means to be identified with. So he's not talking about physical baptism, but he's using that as a metaphor here. He says, therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, we shall, baptism into death, as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in a newness of life. He's saying, as we have identified ourselves with Christ, we die to that old self and we rise to the newness of life, which means he frees us from the mastery of who we used to be able to live under the authority of a new king. Let me give a word picture. So as a former Fresno State athlete, and there's like 2.5 of us here, because I don't know if punters count as being athletes, even though we played in the NFL, but so I don't know, whatever. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. Don't ever insult the class favorite, because then they lose respect for you. So sorry about that. But as an athlete at Fresno State, when I played there, Coach Sweeney was my king. Whether I liked it or not, if Coach said, hey, look, you show up and run. You showed up and ran. You didn't have a choice. You didn't have an option. You couldn't negotiate. You couldn't push back. You couldn't try to pick another time. If Coach said run, you ran. He was my king. Now, I graduated, thanks be to God, with a very fantastic degree in community health education. And as I graduated, I was no longer under his authority, but his presence was still in my life. And Coach could have called me and said, hey, you get over here and run. And I could have. But if you pass Cedar and Barstow at 5 a.m. in the morning and Coach has me out there doing burpees or running gassers, what would you think of me? You'd be like, dude, you're an idiot. Why would you go back and live under his authority? You're not under his authority anymore. You're free. He's not your king anymore. You've graduated. And you've passed on from his authority to the authority of another, not him. Now, I could go back, but why would you? That makes sense. If you play that out theologically, without Jesus Christ in your life, as the Lord of your life, you're a slave to sin, and most people don't even know it. It's like the movie The Matrix, right? You just have no idea that you're actually a slave. But once you trust in Christ, you experience what I call a kingdom transfer. You end up under the authority of a different king. Now, the presence of sin is still in your life. Its influence is still in your life. Its mastery is broken, which is where this gets really convicting. Because if I'm suggesting to you that when you trust in Jesus Christ, the mastery of sin, the reign of sin is broken, and you're under the reign of a new king, why do we continually go back to the old life? That's a great question. That's the question of the day, is it not? James says that when we are tempted, do not say you're tempted by God, for God doesn't tempt anyone. Don't say you're being tempted by Satan, but each one of us is tempted when we are led away and enticed by our own lust, which means we don't sin because we have to. We sin because we want to. Pause. I'm sitting in that class and I'm listening to that. I'm like, wait a second. Are you telling me that Jesus has set me free from the obligation of my old nature? And that I've set that old nature aside and I willingly choose to go live with the pig again? Like I willingly choose to go be that guy because I'm led away and enticed by what's in here? That's what the Bible says. Now I say that not to shame you, because you could do all kinds of shoulding on yourself right now. And I'm not talking about shoulding. Spiritually, don't misunderstand, should. I'm talking about opportunity. I'm talking about understanding. I'm talking about finally realizing that if you have faith in Jesus, you are already free. And you don't have to live this way anymore. But don't misunderstand me. If you do not have faith in Jesus, you cannot live the new life because you have a king. And his name is sin. And apart from the redemptive work of Jesus that binds the strong man and sets you free to walk under the authority of a new king, you have no chance. Watch how this passage continues then. Verse 6, how do we live or walk out then this new life? There's three things. Verse 6, verse 11, and verse 13. Verse 6, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that this body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. How do you live out this new life of freedom under the new King Jesus? It begins with what you know. You've got to understand the reality you're already in. You are not a slave to sin. It has no mastery over you. Now, it has influence, but greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And no temptation has overcome you, but what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Which means, look, she's going to look hot. The internet is going to call you in a stressed out moment when you're like, look at a couple quick things or pull out my phone. Those moments are going to come. It will never be more than you can handle, and you are not obligated to do it. You are free. And it starts with what you know. Your old self, your old unregenerate self, my old dirtbag self was crucified with Christ. And I'm now a new creature. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, new things have come. 4, verse 7, he who has died is freed from the mastery of sin. Mastery inferred in the context here. Verse 8, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Because Jesus died and conquered death, because he rose and ascended, we too have a newness of life, so we're not slaves. He says, now verse 10, the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives for God or to God. Verse 11, it's what you now consider. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. The word consider is a calculating, accounting term. It means to add it up to be so. It's not just enough to know. That's where it starts. I mean, you've got to know the freedom you have in Christ, but then you have to live in such a way that those numbers add up. So consider yourself, he says, to be dead to sin. consider yourselves to be dead, which means if I am free from its mastery, then in those moments where sin comes into my life and the opportunity to indulge in sin is there, I need to add it up in my life and consider myself dead and realize, Coach, you can call me all day long. You can get in my face, you can spit, you can give me the, you know, thing that he used to do like this. You can do all you want. I don't serve you anymore. I mean, literally, I'll walk down the street and I'll see a girl and I'll just go, no, no, I don't serve you anymore, sin. I don't have to look. And so I choose not to. I will not. That when sin comes knocking and you say, look, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to consider myself dead to the mastery of sin. All the influence is everywhere, but the mastery is gone. So consider yourselves dead. But notice, the Bible doesn't just give you what you shouldn't do. If you consider yourselves dead, what should you also consider yourselves to be in that verse? Say it again. Alive to God. Which means if I'm saying, don't look at her, 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 I'm looking at her, right? So instead of just saying, don't look at her, what do I pursue? What do I follow? Paul said in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh, which means the Christian life is active. So do not be surprised if you claim to know Jesus and attend church now and again, but are not actively in your Bible, not actively seeking the Lord, not actively in relationships with people that are talking about God, if you continually struggle as if you're still a slave to sin. Because unless you actively pursue God, you're never going to grow. Unless you actively pursue God, the mastery of sin is still going to feel like it's present in your life, even though positionally you're saved. Even though positionally you're not a slave anymore to sin, if you don't actively pursue or consider yourselves alive to God, you're going to fall back into old habits. It's like trying to be on a bike. You ever see those cyclists? And they come up to a stop sign and just hold it. I'm always watching. I want a video because I'm like, no way. This guy's going down, right? But these guys are incredible. But, you know, it's interesting. Once they start pedaling, it's really easy to keep that bike upright. But boy, if they slow down, it's like, whoa, you know, they're like seizing, trying to keep that thing up. The spiritual life is the same way. If you're trying to say, I love Jesus, but you're parked, you're like that awkward dude in spandex trying not to fall down and tump over. But if you'll start pedaling a little bit and pursue God, boy, that thing wants to stay upright. So you got to pursue God. Final thing. He says, verse 12, this is where it gets really convicting. As if it hasn't been already. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Talk to me. What does that mean? Don't let sin reign. What does it assume you can do? Is it possible for a believer who has placed their faith in Jesus to allow sin to still be their king? Yes. But it doesn't make any sense. Why would you? You can. Which begs all kinds of questions about the genuineness of your faith. We'll get into that later. But it looks like you can. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. If you've been set free, why would you? I mean, Coach, God bless him. If he were alive today and called me, I'd say, Coach, love you. Thanks for the memories. But I'm not coming to run. And I'm not coming to do burpees because you're not the king over me anymore. I love you, but that mastery is severed. So thank you, but no thank you. And in many ways, my relationship with sin is very similar. It can call me, say, you know what? I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you're not king over me anymore. So I'm not going to obey that. So don't let sin reign, and do not go on, verse 13, presenting the members of your body as to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. So don't let sin reign, verse 12, verse 13. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin. Now, what does that mean? It means, look, if you got a problem with drinking, why are you at the bar? If you're trying to get sober, happy hour is not a safe place for you. If you got a problem with lust, the wings are better at, you know, Wild Buffalo wings or whatever. Get out of Hooters. Right? If you got a gambling issue, don't go to Vegas. I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, just recognize that it is possible to present yourself as an instrument, tool, or weapon for sin. You can choose to do that. Why would you present yourself to that? If you got friends that do nothing but call strippers and get drunk, call somebody else. Get a different friend. I mean, I realized for me that to be alone with a woman was not safe, even as a believer. Because, man, one thing starts leading to another, and I'm here we go, and now old habits are hard to break. New life in Christ, but still living the old habits. So I just said, I'm not going to present myself to sin anymore. In fact, I'm not going to be alone with a woman. I just don't want to do that. And I said, I'm not going to go to the bars because I enjoy a good drink. And I realize I don't have, in some ways, I have an off switch, but oftentimes it's too little too late. You know what I mean? Like some guys have no off switch. I had an off switch, but it was beyond propriety. And so I said, I'm not going to do that. There's just a lot of things I say I'm not going to do. If there's a movie and it's got sex scenes in it, that does something to me. I'm not going to do that. For me, I can't do that because it awakens something in me. So I'm not going to present myself to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness. But instead, and this is where it gets important again, do not present the members of your body as instruments, verse 13, of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments, tools, or weapons of the righteousness of God. There it is again. It's not just about what you don't do, it's about what you pursue. Present yourself instead of to sin, present yourself to God. He goes on, in fact, later in this passage to talk about in a sense, I'll summarize because I want to wrap it up. He talks about, look, you who pursued sin, were you creative in your pursuit of sin? I mean, I want you to think back, fellas, to your pursuit of that old life. Were you creative? Road trips. We're going to go to the game. We're going to rent a bus. We're going to bring some buddies. We're going to go to, you know, discount liquor. We're going to do this and that. We're going to not just have a beer. We're going to do a beer bong. Not just a beer bong, but a three-story beer bong. You know, like we got creative. And yet, isn't it interesting that the energy and effort that we put to our old life, we don't put to the new life. And he just makes the observation, fellas, look, you are freed from the mastery of sin. You serve a new king, but you've got to present yourselves to God, not to sin. You've got to consider yourselves dead and alive to God and pursue him. With the same energy and passion that you pursued the old life, you've got to pursue the new life because you're free. The flat-out reality is if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are free. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, you're a slave to sin and you don't even know it. And I would love to share the gospel with you and set you free. Because apart from the gospel, you'll never be free. You will continually have Groundhog Day over and over and over. But if you can trust in Christ, he sets you free and you serve a new king. But we've got to pursue the new king. We've got to actively pursue Christ. You cannot do the spiritual life in neutral. Do you hear that? You cannot walk with Jesus in neutral. It just doesn't work. To be honest, it's almost even worse because you know better and you fall and you know better and you fall and you know better and you fall and you know better and you fall. And so you just live over and over and over in this Groundhog Day of shame and guilt. Now the gospel provides a way, not just positionally, but progressively, that we can pursue our new king. If you find yourself connecting to a Groundhog Day spirituality, can I invite you into the freedom of the new king who really wants to help you live in the freedom that he's already provided for you? Amen? If we can help you with that, let us know. And if you find yourself here and you're a slave to sin and you've never trusted Christ, friend, you need to embrace the gospel. And we'd love to help you with that. And truthfully, if that's you, we're going to break here for just a moment. Unless you've got to go, stay and hang out. And if that's you, share that with the guys at your table. Come to faith this morning. Trust Christ this morning. and have a kingdom transfer so Jesus can be your king. The guys at your table can share the gospel with you, lead you to Christ, and disciple you. Let's live in that freedom he's provided for us. Let me pray. Lord, I do thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus, that we don't have to be who we used to be. And I know for those who have a testimony of maybe always sort of staying close to you, this feels a little foreign, but I know there's guys in here who connect, whose stories are similar to mine, who came to faith, and the old life is hard to get away from. And in some ways, we liked it, and in some ways, we're comfortable with it, and in some ways, we feel natural in it, and almost uncomfortable in pursuit of you, and yet, there's a fullness of joy that comes with you. There's a delight and a freedom that comes with you. There's no regret. There's no shame as we pursue you. There's no DUIs. There's no adultery. There's no hangovers. The liquor bill's cheaper. Like, there's so many reasons, Father. It's great to pursue you. And so, Father, I pray for your grace to set us free from the mastery of our old life and show us how to know that we've been crucified in Christ, how to consider ourselves dead and present ourselves not to sin, but to you as those alive under the reign of a new king. And so we'll thank you for a practical little takeaway here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.